What's going on, Tan and J-Man Show Nation? It is Monday night. It's November 18th, 2024, episode 418 of the Tan and J-Man Show. It's streaming live on the air on the ISC Sports Network, as well as their Twitter page and their YouTube channel and the Tan and J-Man Show Facebook page. I'm Tanner Lee. Joining me, my co-host, like always, Josh the J-Man Mutz, who just got back today from the Sunshine State, and no sunburn, no tan, J-Man.
No, it was cloudy the whole time, which was okay with me. November weather in Miami is perfect. I've been in July when the real feel every day hit about 117, and you just walk outside and it's miserable. But this time, perfect, about 78 to 80 degrees, no humidity. Can't complain.
And you saw the Dolphins get a W over the Las Vegas Raiders. Yeah. And, you know, when one of us goes to a game, kind of a thing we do here on the podcast, we always ask each other, see any cool or unique jerseys down there at the Hard Rock Stadium?
Yeah, I looked, and they're pretty much all normal jerseys, you know. Of course, the Dolphins, sure. A lot of Tyreek, a lot of Marino, a lot of Tua. Some Jalen Waddles in there, Jalen Ramsey in there as well. I saw Brian Hartline. That was kind of Brian Hartline and Chris Chambers are two of the probably most weird jersey. If there is a weird jersey, I just assume it's a family member of one of them. Raiders wise, I saw an old couple one. The woman was wearing a Jim Plunkett and the dude was wearing a Ken Stabler. So that was pretty cool. A lot of Max Crosby, of course. Sure. But I would say the most Raider jersey I saw was Darren McFadden.
Interesting.
Yeah, I saw, at least in our section, there was at least five or six Darren McFadden jerseys. Besides Max Crosby. Crosby was probably the most.
Yeah.
I saw Randy Moss Raiders jersey.
That's a good pull.
That was the most interesting. I'm like, Moss, who is that? Santana Moss played there? Oh, Randy played there, number 18.
That's almost as bad as wearing a Chris Carter Dolphins jersey. Almost.
Yeah, Chris Carter Dolphins, Jerry Rice Seahawks.
I've seen a Jerry Rice Broncos, and he never even played a game. He got into camp, and then he didn't make it, but they made his jersey while he was in camp.
Randy Moss Raiders was the most interesting one. The Dolphins, none too exciting.
Do you ever see any old throwback players besides Marino? And when I'm saying throwback, I'm not talking Hartline or Chambers. I'm talking about 70s, 80s, even 90s. Like, do you ever see any Greasies or?
I don't think I've ever seen a Greasy. I've seen some Zonkas. Mm-hmm. That was kind of the most, but I've never seen like a Mark Clayton or Mark Duper.
See any Zach Thomas or Jason Taylor ones around?
Yeah. Decent amount of Zach Thomas and Jason Taylor's. Zonka's pretty much the only throwback I can remember ever seeing. There was never like a Mercury Morris or anything like that. Ronnie Brown was the honorary captain, him and OJ McDuffie. So it was kind of cool to see Ronnie Brown. Of course, he was the running back in my formative years. They took him over Aaron Rodgers. So that was smart. The Dolphins.
Was that the jersey in middle school that you wore so much the letters were falling off of?
What jersey didn't I wear too much where the letters were falling off of?
I know you wore a lot. I mean, you had a nice collection back in the day. You had McMichael, Joey Porter, Chris Chambers, Ronnie Brown.
The orange Ricky Williams fell apart on me. That was right after he retired too. I'm like, I'm gonna get it. I think that'll be pretty cool to have. And then of course he comes back and it ended up being okay. But Joey Porter was more, I think, like freshman year of high school. Williams, Chambers. I did have a Zach Thomas one when I was in, I think, elementary school. Never had a Jason Taylor one for whatever reason.
I remember one of our classmates had a Jason Taylor one.
Yeah.
Her name was Taylor. So, I mean, her name is Taylor. It is Taylor.
We've both been to Raiders games before. This is actually my third Raiders game I've been to, believe it or not. And we've always talked about how many fights there were. And for the most part, they were pretty chill this time. I don't know if it was an early afternoon start or the fact that they're 2-7 on a 5-game losing streak probably helped that. But there was one guy walking down, kind of making a jerk out of himself. He was what your typical Raiders fan would be dressed as. He had like the spikes around his neck. He had the whole get up, and he's like, "Yeah, you guys can enjoy this win with this half empty stadium."
Who cares?
Yeah, who cares?
They can't talk. That's take a destination that for home. That's a destination for away teams out in Vegas. Yeah. So.
I'm like, well, you guys could have done a little more to stay in Oakland there, fan.
Yep.
So, but no, it was a fun time. Hard Rock Stadium is a really, really good place to watch a game ever since the renovations. Good food, just easy access, easy parking. Can't speak highly enough about Hard Rock Stadium. But in a little aside from football, it was a weird experience because there was this big Christmas festival, Christmas tree lighting festival with Christmas music, all of this massive thing right outside of our hotel. And it is the weirdest feeling ever when you're seeing all this stuff when it's 78 degrees and you're wearing shorts and a t-shirt. It didn't do anything for me.
Well, I don't know about you, but I know here in Northeast Indiana, we're probably getting our first dumping of snow Thursday. So you'll get in the winter Christmas weather spirit here soon. So
yeah, it was nice to at least have one more taste of summer a little bit. Yeah, but
I'm sure it was.
Yeah. Before we get any further, I do have some birdie bogey for you. It is an NFL question. Justin Jefferson has the most receiving yards in NFL history through his first five seasons. Can you name the other four guys in the top five? I'm not going to give you any hints because they're all obviously all very good receivers who end up having very good career. Yep. One guy might be still active, maybe. Okay. Justin Jefferson's pretty good. But Birdie Bogey is brought to you by Arlington Public House. Arlington Public House has upscale cuisine with a casual atmosphere located at 1305. 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana. Over the weekend, they had apple bacon scallops, 7 seared U10 scallops on a bed of cider cabbage topped with bacon jam and apples. They also had happy hour from 4 to 5 p.m.
Yep, they're starting to do that. Yep.
Nice.
You can do that now in Indiana. It's legal now. So,
happy hour wasn't legal in Indiana?
There were certain rules or something, but now... Yeah, now it's – or maybe it was legal and they changed the rules of some sort, but I know it's a bigger deal now within the past month or two than it was.
Indiana's kind of backwards. Remember, it was you couldn't buy any sort of alcoholic beverage from the store or any store on Sundays up until, like, 2017 or so?
Now you can. It just – I think they don't start selling till 11, I think.
Yeah.
Because I know I've been at a grocery store, at least at Meijer before – on Sundays, and they have it like gated until like the alcohol until like 11, and then they undo the gates.
They do that in Wisconsin too, except they cut it off at 10 at like Target anyway. They rope it off kind of like Meijer does.
Well, but Kroger doesn't. I mean, but I don't know.
Yeah, Kroger's the Wild West, I tell you.
But I know Florida's the same way. We were down at a grocery store back in earlier this year on a Sunday. Might have been a Publix, and we tried to check out with some adult beverages, and we had to wait another 20 minutes before we could do so because it was like 10:40.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So. Interesting laws. Right.
My wife has a few trivia questions she wanted me to ask you.
Ooh, I love trivia.
Right, because she asked me yesterday, and we'll just fire a question and answer them right now.
All right.
So, first off, how many rookie quarterbacks – have started in a Super Bowl?
Rookie quarterbacks started in a Super Bowl. that has a miserably bad question because I think Brady had been in New England a year. Mahomes had been in Kansas City a year. They just didn't play. I'm just going to throw a number out there. 3.
No.
Zero?
Zero.
Zero. Yeah. Trick yeah. question.
No, I thought there was like one and I couldn't think of who it was. And then two more questions here. What college currently has the most players in the NFL?
Seems like it would be Alabama. But that seems like it'd be too easy of a guess, so I'm going to say LSU.
Alabama.
Give myself half a point.
And then same category, you know, same category. What school has the most all time, has produced the most NFL players all time?
Isn't it like USC?
USC is number two.
Oh, shoot. Miami.
Miami is, I think, top five. Hmm. They're way down the charts for active guys, though. It's weird.
Yeah, remember they had that incredibly long streak of first-round picks, and that was snapped a few years ago. Ohio State.
Top five, no.
Man, I'm getting the top fives.
I think this school has 514 all-time, I believe.
Michigan?
I think another top five, if I'm not mistaken.
I got four of the top five.
I'm pretty sure. One of those is probably sixth or seventh anyways. But yeah,
Georgia. I don't know.
Nope. You give up?
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame.
This is Notre Dame.
Yep.
I got there.
Yep. Yep. Surprisingly, Purdue was 21st.
Really?
Which I was surprised by, like 400 and some.
Well, have they had their draft streak snapped of a guy getting?
Yeah, that happened in the Hazel era. Hazel era,
that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The dark ages of the.
They're back in the dark ages now, J-Man. We'll be talking about that here momentarily. But do you want to get educated?
Let's do it.
On this day, sporting events that have happened on November 18th. On this day, 1949, the NL batting leader with an average of 0.342, Jackie Robinson, won the NL MVP. On this day, 1964, Brooks Robinson won the AL MVP.
The greatest defensive third baseman in the history of baseball.
On this day, 1966, Sandy Koufax announced his retirement due to an arthritic left elbow.
They probably could have done something very simple for that these days, and he would have pitched for another 6 years or so.
On this day, 1970, Johnny Bench won the NL MVP. On this day, 1980, despite missing 45 games, George Brett won the AL MVP.
That's not right.
No. On this day in 1981, Mike Schmidt won his second consecutive NL MVP.
You're going to list, I've said this before, if you're going to list like a top three Cub killer of all time, Mike Schmidt, Michael Jack Schmidt would be in that top three. And I didn't even get to see him kill the Cubs, but I just know it.
On this day, 1986, Roger Clemens won the AL MVP.
MVP, huh?
On this day, 1987, Cubs Andre Dawson became the first player from a last place club to win an MVP.
Yeah. Woo.
On this day in 1991, Auburn's men's basketball team was placed on a 2-year probation for recruiting violations.
I'll be honest. I'm surprised Bruce Pearl hasn't gotten them back on him.
Well, now you really got to do something bad to get
them. You got to do something real bad these days.
Yeah. A lot of iron bowls for whatever reason. That's going to do it from this day. Pretty
rough
pretty
week. Bad.
Yeah, pretty rough. Pretty rough day, November 18th. A lot of racing, but I wasn't gonna throw that in there. We must be in the off season of cricket. We haven't had cricket for a little while.
Yeah, I don't know when winter hits down in Australia or India or wherever they play cricket.
They play in England too, or Europe.
In London,
yeah. So, but the Honest Day segment is brought to you by, like this every week, Mooney Woodcrafts. Mooney Woodcrafts is a veteran owned and operated woodcraft shop based out of Texas. With Indiana grassroots. They provide 100% hand-cut custom designs to fit your needs, and their pieces are a great addition to any home, office, or man cave. You can see some of their recently completed projects by visiting them at Mooney Woodcrafts on Instagram and on Facebook. And if you let them know the 10 and J-Man show sent you, you get 15% off your first signed order. We are a month and a week away.
Yeah. crazy.
Have you started your Christmas shopping yet, J-Man? I have finally since last week.
Smart.
Started mine.
Very smart.
Yep. But if you're waiting now, you know, might as well wait till next week. Black Friday deals, Cyber Monday deals the following week. So, but if you really want a wooden sign, get a hold of Thad. Tell him the Tan J-Man Show sent you 15% off. I would recommend getting that in your order as soon as possible. Because I think if you get it in probably this week, I don't want to speak for him without asking him, but he could probably get it to you by Christmas. But if you wait too long, his turnaround time is great, but it's not quick enough there to get it within a week or two. So, because you want it to be a pristine, nice wooden sign. Yeah. He could probably get it to you in that amount of time, but it wouldn't be his best work. So, and he does great work.
Paul Skeens won National League Rookie of the Year. He became the first Rookie of the Year pitcher since 2014. And that got me thinking, who was it in 2014? And off the top of my head, I don't remember.
You want me to look it up?
Sure. I'm pretty sure Jose Fernandez was 2013.
2014 Rookie of the Year?
Yeah.
Well, that helps if I type in the league. Right away, reads up MLB stuff. Jacob DeGrom.
Oh, that makes sense. I didn't realize he won Rookie of the Year. He's got all sorts of accolades these days when he's healthy.
Jose Abreu and Jacob DeGrom.
2014. Jose Abreu was, I thought he was earlier than that, like 2012. I'm mistaken. It was a pretty heated race between, I don't know what the vote came out to, but I know it was a hotly debated topic because Skeens didn't come up, you know, until May between him and Jackson Merrill, who, you know, he's a 20-year-old rookie for the Padres, had a fantastic season, played every day, center field. But Skeens ultimately won out, which it's hard to argue with Skeens because he was pretty dominant. But
yep. I saw the Hall of Fame class for the MLB's up. Ichiro and CC are among the 14 newcomers.
Yeah, Ichiro's for sure. Of the newcomers, I think Ichiro's probably the only one that gets in on first ballot. I don't know if Sabathia, he had a big enough name, and the fact that he played with the Yankees, he might get in, and he won a World Series, but his overall body of work is kind of lacking, in my opinion, for a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, your newcomers, here's the list. All good players, but I don't think any are Hall of Fame worthy. Felix Hernandez, Carlos Gonzalez, Dustin Pedroia, Hanley Ramirez, Fernando Rodney, Ian Kinsler, Ben Zobrist, Troy Tulowitzki, Russell Martin, Brian McCann, Curtis Granderson, and Adam Jones.
Yeah, I could see King Felix because he won multiple Cy Youngs. He was on a bad team, but he had a pretty big name. Dustin Pedroia, the laser show, is a pretty interesting case too because he also won an MVP. Won two World Series at least with the Red Sox in 07 and 13. And then, Ben Zobrist is just Hall of very good.
And would Felix be the Mariners' first pitcher in the Hall?
I would say he'd go in as the first Mariners pitcher.
Yeah, because Randy went in as a Diamondback.
Yeah, and like they had like Gaylord Perry long time ago.
When they were like the something else?
No, they were the Mariners then in the 80s. Like he was old. Like he was in his 40s and still pitching in like 1983 or 4, but he wouldn't have gone in as a Mariner.
Gotcha. I didn't realize that.
But yeah, I would say he's probably their first. Need Sean Shriver would probably know. He needs to help us out a little bit.
He'll probably text my phone. So. let's start off the program tonight. Well, we've already started off the program. We're 20 minutes in. Let's talk some college football. I doubt you got to watch a ton.
It's kind of nice that they now, over the past 5 or 6 years now, have screens on the plane that have live TV, so I was able to watch some on the second leg of the flight. My dad had the Illinois game on his iPad, but other than that, I didn't really watch a whole lot. I know Alabama played Mercer, which is a joke.
Yeah, there was a couple SEC teams that had basically bye weeks.
And I did watch a majority of the Wisconsin-Oregon game, too, I should say.
That was a lot better game than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, close. I wouldn't say it was a well-played game. by either stretch of the imagination. No. And it got Wisconsin's offensive coordinator Phil Longo fired.
Yep.
Well, he tried quarterback play.
He tried to bring air raid system to Madison. That was dumb from the beginning. So, yeah. But yeah, what were some of your big takeaways around college football? I mean, we're on week 13 now this week. We're really getting down to the nitty gritty here.
Yeah. Man, as I said, I didn't watch a ton. I watched a decent amount of Big Ten football. But Texas survived a semi scare in Arkansas. That I know I got Tom Fornelli picked Arkansas to win that one, which was an interesting pick. But nitty gritty, 2 weeks left. It's hard to believe.
Yeah.
And we'll get the new playoff rankings coming out. Is it tomorrow?
Tomorrow night. Yeah.
There's this discourse between SEC and Indiana, really, who gets in. And we kind of talked about that quite a bit last week, actually.
Yep.
And it will be interesting. Especially if Indiana gets whooped this week at Ohio State, which are 12-point underdogs. So
yeah. If they keep it within two touchdowns, I think they're okay. But if say they lose by 21 or more than 21, then the conversation gets pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's not really their fault.
No, it's not. They're not conferences. I mean,
sure.
Looking back. But it was a decision 2 years ago. Looking back, they probably wish they had that Louisville game still on the schedule.
Yeah, and we might not even be talking about it if they had the Louisville game because they'd probably lose.
I don't. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. Who knows about Louisville?
Yeah. Because, I mean, they've pretty much destroyed, besides Michigan, all who they've played. And but still, I think I'd probably take a three-loss SEC team over – a one-loss Indiana.
I don't know about a three-loss. I probably a two-loss SEC, but I don't know about three-loss.
For sure a two-loss, but I wouldn't be surprised if we see a three-loss SEC team in there over them should they decide that to be the
game. Yeah, and that would be so deflating as an Indiana fan because you know it's never going to happen then, ever.
yeah.
Because this is the year to do it. And like you said, you got to play who's on your schedule. And, you know, finally with Washington winning Friday night, they've now played a team that's made a bowl, let alone also beat that team. So.
Yeah. And they inked Kurt Cignetti to a massive extension, 8-year extension where his annual salary gets bumped quite a bit. Well,
that headline was deceiving because his contract's 6 years. So they added two more years to it. But for a total of $8 million, but yeah, he got bumped up to $9 million a year. So yeah, he probably won't be going anywhere anytime soon. We have seen coaches leave their extensions before, but it's not right after they get them. So
it could be all down. I mean, he's won wherever. Googling,
sure. He definitely has.
And you're not gonna say, oh man, we need to start slow and build it up.
No,
you want to win right away, but I feel like now they have ridiculous expectations going forward, and they'd be disappointed with like a 7-win team next year, which would be one of the greatest teams in Indiana history. Still,
programs like Indiana, Purdue, Illinois take 7 or 8 wins a year if you can get it and run.
Yeah.
I mean, that's enjoyable.
With Bielema at Illinois, I remember Josh Whitman when he hired him, or when he hired Lovey. He's like, we just need somebody that can consistently win 7 games. And one guy after each single win to get to 7 games, a guy's been like, build the statue. Because that's now 7 or more wins in 2 of the last 3 years. It's only the 9th time over the past 31 years that they've had a winning record. You get a statue built if you win consistently 7 games out in Indiana. He got the extension, well deserved, because they were obviously scared somebody was going to come and yank him away. But
which there's not going to be that many good open jobs, I don't think.
No, especially if Florida stays.
I think Napier's safe after this weekend.
Yeah, definitely, and that it might open up LSU. Honestly, 4 losses.
Yeah, $70 million buyout down there, but they're crazy enough to do it.
They're as crazy as A&M, and they gave $95 million for Jimbo. And it's worked out pretty well for A&M too.
Yep.
So far.
Yeah, Brian Kelly going to the swamp, losing. That's three straight L's all by 10 plus points.
Yeah.
For LSU. So things are not going good down there. And if he's not fired, his seat's going to be red hot going into next year for sure. Other things around the country, BYU suffered their first loss of the season to Kansas, which I know Kurt Herbstreit and Cody Rhodes both predicted that on game day, which was kind of neat.
Kansas is probably better than the record. Of course, they came into the year ranked, but still, that's an under 500 team. And I think BYU had been on fraud watch pretty much all season, and that that came to fruition over the weekend.
That definitely opens up a lane for Colorado. Colorado does play Kansas in Arrowhead Stadium this week, and then they play Oklahoma State. They win those two, they're in the Big 12 championship.
Yeah.
They win that, they're in the playoff with a bye.
Yeah, they Deion's done pretty great job. I mean, you can't really say anything other than that because it's not hype anymore. I mean, they're putting together a very good season.
Travis Hunter's probably going to win the Heisman.
Probably have the Heisman winner. And the Big 12 is weak. I mean, Oklahoma State doesn't have a conference win, I don't believe. I think they're 0-7 in the Big 12.
Could that open up?
Should. I mean, it's been 18 years now pretty much with Gundy. And it's gotten worse over the past couple of years. Now they're having off the field issues.
Yep.
Arizona State though goes into was it in Kansas State?
Yes, it was.
And
it
just
was.
Whooped them
8-2. Arizona State.
Kenny Dillingham's like our age. He's like I think he's 34, and he's done a pretty incredible job there. When most people thought it'd be a massive rebuild, and now year two.
Even though you said they suck last week.
Well, I'm not a college football expert, Tanner, especially a Big 12 expert. I try to stay away from the Big 12 because I've never really liked Big 12 football. Now Texas and Oklahoma are no longer in it.
Fair,
we could be seeing the Sander quad in the playoff, which would be a miserable viewing experience. For everyone, especially if Gus Johnson gets put on the call.
And we'll see how long he stays at Colorado as well.
Oh, he's going to Dallas. I'm booking it right now. He's going to Dallas.
I still think Belichick, but or the Giants. That rumor's floating out there all of a sudden. The Giants, if they move on from Dable, which we'll talk about them in a little bit. One other thing, this isn't playoff implications or anything, but I found it interesting. Washington State, having a good year, they got upset by New Mexico. And they were ranked 19th. Washington State was so
they're technically independent, right?
No, they're technically Pac-12. Them and Oregon State, they're two team conference.
They're just two team conference. Yeah. Huh? Yeah. Did they play each other six?
They're
times
going to year? No, they're going to play each other in the last week of the season, I believe.
Okay, the title. So
if you look on ESPN, they have Princey 0-0 for the conference record next to their record.
That's fine.
But the Pac-12 will be adding teams in 2 years, but still small so far. So not a ton of shakeup in the playoff. This week things will get interesting, for sure. Looking at the Big Ten games this week, Friday night, the whole nation's going to be watching this one. 1-9 Purdue at 4-6 Michigan State.
I have Michigan State for 8. I mean, I've watched Purdue this year, and I've watched Michigan State too. Neither are great, but road game, I just don't see it with Purdue this week.
I got Michigan State for 6. Only reason I'm not putting 7 or 8, I look at it this way, even though Purdue's doesn't look like they can win a football game anytime soon. The last 4 games, they've got absolutely shellacked by Penn State and Ohio State. The other, or let's go 5 games, they've got shellacked by Oregon, Penn State, Ohio State. Those other two against teams, they're actually closer in talent, 2 overtime losses, Northwestern and Illinois. So I'm like, maybe if they can play a team with more talent, they can be competitive. If they're not competitive Friday night, Ryan Walters needs to go no matter what. I don't know. I don't know what to believe anymore. The reports. I don't know. So we'll see.
Michigan State's also fighting for their postseason lives. Right. I mean, they're 4-6. They need to win the final 2. I don't know who they have the final week of the season, but
it's somebody they got a good chance to beat, but I don't remember.
Rutgers or something.
So Michigan State turns it over a lot, but promise Purdue doesn't turn teams over. So, but it's just. When they put that game on Fox before the season, I'm like, that's going to be a bad matchup come November. It just, whatever. whatever. So here's should be a really good matchup. It's Fox Big Noon. I'm not sure if it's game day. I'm assuming it's game day, but I'm not sure.
I think
sure.
It is as well.
Number 5 Indiana at number 2 Ohio State.
The Fox Big Noon is terrible. The fans hate it, and the premier game needs to be the night game. That's how it's always been. It takes away a little bit of atmosphere playing at 11 o'clock or noon Eastern time.
And for Colorado this past week.
Yeah, playing at 10 a.m. Their time. But I know Ohio State fans hate it because they always seem to have it.
Six straight noon games. This is their sixth straight noon game.
They absolutely hate it. With that being said, I think I have Ohio State for 7, and I think they cover the 12.
I got Ohio State for 4. I think they'll win, but I'll say by 14. Okay. Like Indiana, I wouldn't be shocked if Indiana gets ahead and then Ohio State catches them.
Yeah.
Illinois at Rutgers.
I have Illinois for 1. They play pretty well on Saturday.
I got Rutgers for 2. It's probably a good thing you took your quota up because you're about to hit it.
Oh, I hate it.
Trying to look up the spread.
Rutgers is 1.5-point favorites.
Yes, you're right. Iowa, 7-point favorites at Maryland.
Iowa had a bye last week after a terrible loss the previous week to UCLA. With that being said, Maryland's bad, and that might open. I don't know out there in the DMV, but give me Iowa for 4.
I got Iowa for 3. Wisconsin and Nebraska, something's got to give here. The winner goes bowling. They're both 5-5. Dylan Royola said he pretty much guaranteed a win today to their fan base. No.
He's been horrendous since the end of September. So, with that being said, the J-Man's book it prediction of the week is Nebraska actually goes bowling and they win against Wisconsin. And that's mainly because Wisconsin's passing game, their quarterback is terrible. I watched him against Oregon. Maybe it'll be a little different at Nebraska. But Nebraska for 2. J-Man's book it prediction week brought to you by Travis Watchring Insurance Age. You told me it. Just do it, please, because I forgot.
Travis Watchring Insurance Agency. I have it typed in wrong there, so I'll get that corrected for next week.
Yeah, my short-term memory is bad right now.
But he offers home insurance.
Home, auto, renters, workers' comp, and farm insurance. Yep. Contact Travis. 219-869-4561.
We'll get that cleaned up. Travis and I are working on a new read, so we'll get that one of these days for the show. I also have Nebraska going bowling. I have them for 1 point, though. I really don't know who to pick. I mean, Dana Holgerson's calling the offense now for Nebraska. So,
yeah, it went real well for him down in Houston.
Yeah, and West Virginia before that. Yeah. Number 4, Penn State at Minnesota. Penn State's a 12-point favorite.
Give me Penn State for 6. I think it's a fairly close game, though.
I got Penn State for 7, yeah. I think Fleck and company hang in there. Mm-hmm. Northwestern at Michigan. Michigan's a 12.5-point favorite.
First 1-9 wins this one. Michigan for 5.
I got Michigan for 8. Neither team's very good.
No.
USC, 4.5-point favorites at UCLA. It's weird to see this game as the second to last game of the year. It's usually the last game of the
year. Give me USC for 3.
But it is USC's last Big Ten game. They play Notre Dame next week.
Mm-hmm.
UCLA plays Fresno State. So it's their last Big Ten game too next week. So top 25 matchups.
Who are you taking?
Oh, USC for 5. Sorry. Okay. I thought I already said that. Number 11, Ole Miss, 10.5-point favorite at Florida.
Give me Ole Miss.
I will take Ole Miss as well. Number 14, SMU, 9.5-point favorites at Virginia.
Give me SMU. Upstart, SMU. Yep,
I like SMU as well. Number 6, I'll be dropping. BYU at Arizona State. Arizona State, 3-point favorite.
give me that team I thought was terrible, Arizona State.
Forks up. Number 17, Colorado, 3-point favorite at Kansas, playing this game in Arrowhead.
Give me Colorado. I've been picking against them a lot. Maybe this will be the thing that turns it around and they lose.
I'll take Colorado as well. Pittsburgh at, they won't be ranked after the rankings come out. Number 19, Louisville. Louisville's 8-point favorite. Horrendous loss the way that happened at Stanford.
Yeah. Give me Louisville, though. I think they bounce back. Pitt had a tough one losing to Clemson too. I watched that on the plane as well. Okay, and I was flipping back and forth between Kansas State and Colorado, and Colorado whooped them.
Number 24, undefeated Army, playing Notre Dame in Yankee Stadium. Notre Dame's 14-point favorite.
Give me Notre Dame.
I think it's going to be almost similar to what Notre Dame did to Navy, to be honest. Washington State and Oregon State actually play this week, not next week, I'm mistaken. A few more here. Number 15, Texas A&M at Auburn. Texas A&M is a 2.5-point favorite.
What has happened to Auburn?
4-6, Auburn.
Yeah, give me A&M.
Taking A&M as well. Number 10, Alabama.
Alabama.
It's a 10-point favorite at 14-point favorite at 5-5, Oklahoma.
Oh, man. That might open. Oklahoma might open.
Good.
Give me Alabama.
I will take Alabama as well. 6-4 Vanderbilt at 6-4 LSU, who is a 7.5-point favorite.
Give me Vandy on the road.
That would do Brian in.
That would do Brian Kelly.
I will take LSU. Sure. And Cincinnati, 5-5 at number 16, 7-3 Kansas State, who is a 8.5-point favorite.
Give me K-State.
I will take the Wildcats as well. But yeah,
Utah lost to Colorado, not Kansas State. I screwed that up.
Yes. Yes, they did. Yeah. Yeah, they're not good without camerizing. So. Yeah. All right, staying with Pigskin, but switching to the NFL. Week 12 provided some storylines. I know we got the battle for Texas tonight between the Cowboys and the Texans. I am sick of seeing both teams on TV.
First time in 2 years, Jerry's World roof is going to be open. I saw that today on the Twitter.
Who cares? I just can't wait for Tommy DeVito against Cooper Rush on Thanksgiving next week.
Tommy DeVito. Forget about it.
You know, is it time to get away from the tradition of always having the Lions and Cowboys play on Thanksgiving? The Lions are good now, but
for years they were awful.
I don't think they're going to go away. I don't think they will, but they definitely could.
I will be honest. I barely ever watch that Cowboys game because I hate watching them so much, and I hate that game on Fox. Every single year. Luckily, this year, Illinois and Arkansas play basketball right during it, so I won't have to.
Purdue plays during it, too. I forgot about that.
Yeah, I say we give some other teams a shot. I mean, they kind of do with they do the Thursday nighter now, and now they started the Friday afternoon one as well.
Yep.
It's pretty bad matchups. Bears, Lions, and Giants, Cowboys. And then the night game is significantly more intriguing now than it was a month ago or even 2 weeks ago with Dolphins and Green Bay.
Yep. So, that's a big day for you.
Food,
Illinois basketball, Dolphins?
In that order, too.
3 winners, 3 losers. Start us off with the winners, J-Man.
Pittsburgh Steelers. 8-2, keep getting it done. It's not pretty, but they
could just say Boswell.
Boswell, 6 field goals. Justin Tucker missed 2 field goals. He might be starting to age out a little bit. The funny thing is, after the game, Justin Tucker blamed the field surface as if Boswell didn't go 6-for-6. No, Mike Tomlin, as I've said the past couple weeks, top 2 coach in the NFL. And 8-2. Shannon Sharp called him the best team in the AFC today. I don't agree with that. But
I don't agree with that either. But yeah. They're solid. Don't get me wrong. Solid. I mean, defense wins championships.
It does.
But Boswell's done that twice this year.
Yeah. Week 1, yeah, right?
Justin Fields, week 1 against the Falcons. Yeah. So, well, I'm going Homer. I don't do this too often on this podcast. But I'm taking the Broncos for a winner. 38-6 beat the Falcons, who should be a playoff team. They're winning the NFC South.
That division stinks.
Yeah, the Broncos swept that division. First time they've swept that division since.
They did, didn't they?
Yep, they swept that division. They called themselves on social media the NFC South champs. But Bo Nix was awesome yesterday.
He was awesome.
First rookie in NFL history to throw for over 300 yards, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions, and at least an 80% completion rate, completions percentage in one game. So that was pretty cool. He played well. I thought Sean Payton played a great game. Defense played well, and it was good to beat it. That was the first team they've beat that has a winning record. Schedule sets up nicely. It looks like, you can't have a letdown. They have at Vegas this week, Monday night next week against Cleveland, a bye, and then Colts at home. And then the last three is at LA Chargers, at Cincinnati, and Kansas City at home. But you have no idea where Cincinnati or KC will be probably sitting there, guys. You have no idea where Cincinnati's head will be at. Chargers will be a really tough game. They looked pretty good last night for a majority of the game. So they got a chance probably to, if they take care of business, to make the playoffs for the first time since 2015. And I'd be thrilled because I wanted just to find out this year if Bo Nix was the dude. And I think he's answered that. Yeah. He is the dude for the Broncos going forward. So.
Yeah.
Number two winner for you.
Buffalo Bills. I don't think anyone thought the Chiefs were really going to win that game, but the Bills are about to clinch the division this week. It feels like already they're so far up, but they're the best team in the AFC in my opinion. And Josh Allen's a stud, and that run he had might be his signature moment of his career so far, at least regular season moment. Bills pretty good.
I'm taking the Green Bay Packers. I made it 11 straight against the Bears, blocked a 46-yard field goal, which I feel your pain, Bears fans, even though my team's was 10 yards closer than that. But when they were lining up, I just like, I have a feeling the Packers are going to block this. Just something in my gut just told me it was going to block. They were going to block.
The Schmohawk, that's not a curse word. I'm pretty sure it might be. Now I'm scared. Matt Eberflus, they get down there, you know, in decent field goal range. And instead of like trying to get Ferg, because Cairo Santos has never missed under 40 yards. And they had plenty of time to get to under 40 yard range and they settled for 46. And sure, it was probably a penalty on Green Bay for leverage because the center's head could never pop up and they kind of used him to, but the Bears find ways to lose. Caleb Williams looked good yesterday. I mean, you look at his stat line and it was okay. I mean, Bears fans throw show videos like, man, what a throw. I'm like, that's just the most average throw any NFL quarterback can make. It's like, that's how bad it's been quarterback-wise for the Bears.
Yep.
Is they fawn over these very normal plays that he's making. Bears.
Offense looked better, but they still only put up 19 points.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Who's your third winner?
I got a couple teams here. I'm gonna go with the Colts.
They needed it.
Starting Richardson, he looked a lot better. He ran it a few times. He had a 60% completion percentage, which is very rare for him. Into New York, who's, I know they're 3-8, but still, Aaron Rodgers still strikes a little bit of fear in you. Going into games, and they are now they're still alive, 5-6, and they have a tough one this week though against.
After that, it opens up
best team in the NFL, but then as you said, it opens up a little bit. So
after that, they're toughest games at Denver. I mean, all the rest they should win. Honestly,
maybe they'll stay in it.
Yeah, and they were down 8 at one point yesterday. They could have just caved and season over. So kudos to them. My last winner to Seahawks, 20-17 win at San Francisco. I know San Francisco's been banged up, but something's off, man. Something's off.
Purdy's waking up a little bit, in my opinion.
Something's off. I know Kittle was out. I know, like I said, I know they've had tons of injuries, but so far. But they're still a team. If they could get healthy and make the playoffs, you wouldn't want to play them.
Right.
Kind of like the Bengals, but I think the Bengals have dug a hole too deep to get out of.
So. I agree. 7 out of the last 10 seasons, the Niners have been 500 or worse through 10 games.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. And they've been to 2 Super Bowls in that time.
I did not realize that. That's incredible. Yeah. So it's kind of like I didn't know till last night. Justin Herbert has gone 8 straight games without throwing an interception.
Yeah, he's only thrown 1 on the season.
He looked like a dude last night.
He's been great. And Jim Harbaugh's been the best hire of the offseason by far.
He's such a cornball, though. We call Russell cornball. He's a cornball of coaches. But he's a good coach. So
he is.
Yeah, man. Weird after the game.
Equivalent. Well, I wouldn't say they're equivalent to each other because at least Harbaugh's got a little bit of likability to him that Russell just does not have, in my opinion.
Yeah. Losers.
You go first.
I will start off. I will put the Cincinnati Bengals. Mm-hmm. They can't beat a team over 500 this year. They're the scariest 4-7 team I've ever seen because they have so much talent. Burrow's playing good football.
Yeah.
But their defense let them down.
Burrow has MVP type numbers.
Yeah.
He's thrown for 300 plus, 3+ touchdowns almost every single game.
It's so frustrating.
And they're just, I think Zach Taylor gets fired. They just are lovable, not even lovable, but they are finding ways to lose games. Yep. And they come all the way back. Yeah. After being down, I went to bed at halftime. It was 24-6, I think, or 24-7. But then McPherson missed two field goals. Mm-hmm. And that would have given them the lead in the fourth. And then, yeah, Herbert drove them down.
So many missed field goals around the league yesterday. Holy cow. Yeah.
My first loser is the Washington Commanders. I know it would have been a very big win for them to go into Philadelphia, but that's now back-to-back losses. That Washington offense is looking significantly worse, which is not a shock when you realize Cliff Kingsbury is their offensive coordinator. How many years as a head coach did his team start off all world the first 8-9 games, and after that they just tanked and fell off, and that's what's happening with Washington. So Jaden Daniels hasn't looked as good the past few weeks. I know they've played two good teams, but yeah, they need to bounce back in a big way this week, and I think they will. But
my second loser, Jacksonville Jaguars. You stink. Yeah. You lost 52-6. I can't believe you haven't fired Peterson.
I agree.
Right now, it's a bye week. I don't know what you're waiting for. It's only a matter of time. It's gonna happen. Man, this team is a joke.
Yeah, worst loss in franchise history. 46 points.
That's the second time Detroit's put up a 52 points this year.
That team's good. Dan Campbell doesn't let off the gas either. Nope. He's still doing some stuff. But, yeah. My second loser is the New York Jets. I know I had the Colts as a winner. I don't like doing that. But Aaron Rodgers, I mean, you said there was a report. Rodgers wants Mike McCarthy as head coach next year, which would be a joke. Rodgers is washed, and he needs to hang it up. And It's been fun. Now, he's still scary to play. Dolphins still have to play him twice, and I'm not looking forward to either of them because he's still Aaron Rodgers in my mind. I can't get that out of my mind, and he'll play up for those two games for sure because they're divisional games. But it's been rough, and it's been fun to watch, honestly.
My my last loser, Baltimore Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when they smack the Broncos around, I'm like, this. When they're clicking, they're the best team in the AFC.
Yeah.
Well, they're lucky they're not on a two-game losing streak right now. They probably should have lost to the Bengals.
Should have.
And, man, they were turnover-prone yesterday. Like I said, Tucker, who I thought at one time was the greatest kicker, he still could be. That's the greatest kicker in NFL history. He's not good this year. And, if they're on the road, I'm not scared of them in the playoffs. If they're at home, yes, but they struggle on the road.
Yeah, I mean, Lamar might win his third MVP, and he will have more MVPs than about playoff wins.
Josh Allen might have something to say for that.
Yeah, sure, but definitely. My last loser is the Vegas Raiders. Six straight losses.
Scares me.
It would scare me, too. I hated the fact they had five straight losses coming in. I'm like, oh, they're due. They're due, man. And then they were hanging around. I'm like, here we go.
That missed tackle when I texted you with 4.5 minutes to go. I thought it was going to cost Miami the game.
Play it safe. Yeah. Now, Dolphins didn't punt once. They scored every single time they touched the ball besides a minute left in the first half when they didn't really do much. But so I had utmost confidence in their offense to at least take off some time. They're bad. They're undisciplined. They had a pass interference that extended a drive on third down when the Dolphins were probably going to have to pump back with about 5 minutes left. It was a very clear pass interference. They were trying to run the clock out in the third quarter, the Dolphins were, and the play clock was higher than the game clock, so they were just going up there trying to drum offsides. Max Crosby jumps offsides. All they had to do was just sit there, and then there are a few other things that happened, and Antonio Pierce might be a one and done.
Yeah, that was a dumb hire to begin with.
It was. Their fans stink. I'm sure their stadium's very nice.
No. Yeah, I've heard it is very nice.
It's been ugly there, and they need a quarterback. They need to just go to O'Connell the rest of the year and see what they have.
He's on the IR still.
Never mind. I didn't know he was hurt.
He broke his thumb. Ritter. Desmond Ridder.
Oh, that's right. I knew that.
Yeah, Aiden broke his thumb about six weeks ago.
I will say Brock Bowers is an absolute stud. He is the only player on offense. He is one catch away from having the most catches ever in a rookie season I guess they've played 10 games now. Yeah. But so he was one off of OBJ, but he did set the rookie record for catches in a game yesterday with 13. Dolphins couldn't stop him. He is
they've always had good tight ends. That's one thing the Raiders always have. Because even Michael Mayer, now that he's back
pretty,
healthy,
he's good
that's
too.
A pretty good 1-2 combination of tight ends.
Their wide receivers are terrible, though.
Yeah.
They don't have a running game.
Yes.
And the Dolphins haven't gotten much of a pass rush this year, and they were harassing Minshew all day long. So
I do like that.
It's ugly. Ugly.
Yep. Kind of like their owner. all right. So picks for week 12, Thursday night. This is going to be an ugly one. It is an in-division rivalry, but Pittsburgh Steelers at Cleveland Browns.
Jameis threw for over 300 yesterday in a loss. Give me Pittsburgh for 8.
Yeah, they had no answer for Taysom Hill yesterday. I got Pittsburgh for 12. Tampa Bay Buccaneers at New York Giants.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I have Tampa Bay for 6. It's the DeVito show.
I got Tampa for 10. Daniel Jones, third string. Not even backup. They dropped him down to third string. So Drew Lock is the backup there.
All right.
Detroit Lions at Indianapolis Colts.
Give me the Lions for 11. Trap game, though.
I got the Lions for 7 for that exact reason. And it's at Lucas Oil. So Tennessee Titans at Houston Texans. A lot of Houston fans do not like the Titans to this
day. I have Houston for 13.
I got the Texans for 9. New England Patriots at Miami Dolphins.
I have the Dolphins for 9.
I got the Dolphins for 8. Dallas Cowboys at Washington Commanders.
I have the Washington Commanders for 10.
I got the Commanders for 11. Minnesota Vikings at Chicago Bears.
I have the Bears for 1.
Wow.
I just don't believe in this Minnesota team. I don't believe in Sam Darnold. I know they keep winning games, but I just feel like this is a game they lose. They don't win in Chicago very often either.
I got the Vikings for 5.
All right.
Kansas City Chiefs at Carolina Panthers.
Chiefs for 12.
I got the Chiefs for 13. Denver Broncos at Las Vegas Raiders. Broncos have not ever won in Vegas.
Trap game, another trap game. Again, 6 game losing streak. I still think Denver gets it done. Denver for 6.
I got the Broncos for 6 as well. Arizona Cardinals at Seattle Seahawks.
I have the Arizona Cardinals for 3.
I got the Cardinals for 4. San Francisco 49ers at Green Bay Packers.
I think the Niners bounce back for 7.
I got the Pack for 2. Philadelphia Eagles at L.A. Rams.
I have the Eagles for 2.
I got the Rams for 1, I guess just because they're at home. And the Baltimore Ravens at the L.A. Chargers, the Harbaugh Bowl.
Yes. I could see the Chargers.
And it's tough one to predict.
Having a letdown here. Give me Baltimore for 4.
I got Baltimore for 3. If Baltimore loses this one, then I'm like, I still think they make the playoffs, but it's like, man, really can't take them serious. I'm not saying the Chargers are a bad team. I think Chargers are a playoff quality team. I just don't think they're a Super Bowl contending team.
Yeah.
I think in the AFC, you got the Bills, the Chiefs, even though I don't think their offense is scaring anybody. And I will throw Pittsburgh in there because of their defense. I think those are the 3 teams that can make the Super Bowl. But really, I think the Bills are much higher than the other 2 right now.
Yeah, I agree. Chargers, lowest points per game given up in the NFL, 13, which I think is the lowest – a long time, like since the Niners, when Harbaugh was with the Niners. I think I saw that on NFL Network today.
Yeah. And I am going to do the read for the pick 6. We're not going to have time to get the pick 6 in this week because we do want to talk a little college basketball. But we talked a lot about the guys who I was going to have on this list anyways throughout the program. So I'll make up for it next week. But the pick 6 segment is brought to you by Like It Is Every Week, Performer Print 2 Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for next trade show, company picnic, or sales meeting, Performer Print 2 Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs, so you need to look no further. Let them be your one-source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815.
College hoops. Purdue with a big win on Friday. The power of Mackey Arena, man.
10 straight years they've beat at least one top 10 opponent. They haven't lost the non-conference game since the 2020-2021 season.
Is it the 4th longest streak ever, non-conference?
Yeah, it's getting up there. They're not quite the longest streak yet. They're getting up there, though. Yeah. They'll have another test tomorrow night at number 15, Marquette. Purdue moved up to number 6 in the polls today. I thought they'd be 8th or 9th, but I was optimistic going into Friday night's game, but I wasn't expecting to win. But same thing going in tomorrow. I'm not expecting to win, if I'm being honest, on the road. But I think it'll be a good game. But Purdue had some guys make big plays. Braden Smith was Braden Smith. Fletcher Lawyer has been outstanding so far this year. Trey Kaufman-Wren at the 5 the other night was awesome. And then they had guys stepped up like Cameron Heidi, Camden Heidi, 8 rebounds off the bench. Freshman CJ Cox hitting 3 threes in a row, 9
huge
points.
Threes, yeah.
Miles Colvin didn't take a shot at Temple, played great defense on Sears. We got a couple boards and a big block. Freshman Riley Burgess stepping up, hitting a 3, 5 points. Just guys contributing all over the place all night long. That's what they needed. Mackey was rocking. And, good win on the Peacock there. And they're going to have many more challenges coming up here in the non-conference. But so far, it's fun times for basketball in West Lafayette. Football's been absolutely horrendous.
I texted the group chat on Saturday. It's got to be a much different experience watching Purdue on Saturday as it is opposed to Friday night.
Awful product on the field, but for the 6 home games Purdue football had, I can't say enough about the fans.
Oh, the fans are great. Yeah,
that's what a lot of people say. They deserve better than what they're getting. So.
Yeah, I hated that Alabama lost, not because Purdue won, but because they're now coming in off a loss and Illinois plays them Wednesday. So
at Birmingham, right?
In Birmingham, yeah. Alabama.
Their athletic is get out. Their athletic is get out. Regardless.
And they can shoot and they'll keep chucking, even if they're not hitting.
Yeah, they will.
Saw that the other night. I mean, they get up, 6 or 7 with about 10, 9 minutes left, something like that. And then CJ Cox did his thing. But scary matchup for an Illinois team who is ranked now 25th. Underwhelming performance against Oakland.
Oakland was a tourney team last year.
They lost everyone, but they're a terrible offensive team. But the thing I like about playing them is they play such a different style of defense. It's a 1-3-1 the entire game. So it's your guys have to figure out a way to beat something different than you usually see. And it slowed Illinois down quite a bit, but found a way to get it done. I mean, they won by 15 or 16, something like that. So it wasn't like it was ever in doubt. I just didn't think
like
they
Michigan State
well.
To Bowling Green.
Kind of, but they weren't really down against Oakland. Michigan State was in trouble yesterday until they kind of caught fire and then ended up winning by 14. But they were losing in the second half. But
they were losing 4 minutes left in the first half by 13, and then they tied it up at half.
I think Alabama ultimately wins that one probably by double digits, I imagine, against Illinois. I just low expectations for it, which is kind of fine. Indiana had a nice non-conference win at home over the weekend against South Carolina. I don't know how good South Carolina is.
They're not very good. They've already have lost this year, I believe.
All right. High major at least win.
That's their only one outside the Battle of Atlantis. They don't play any others.
I have no respect for that. None. Purdue loads their non-conference. Illinois loads their non-conference.
South Carolina's 2-2.
Act like a premier program and load that non-conference.
Indiana's non-conference. They have North Carolina, Greensboro this week. They have Louisville. That's part of the next week. That's part of the Atlantis. I don't know who else. But their other non-conference, Sam Houston State, Miami, Ohio, Chattanooga, and Winthrop.
That's pathetic. Absolutely pathetic. Purdue plays Alabama, Marquette. Who else they have?
Texas A&M, Auburn. NC State in a tournament, then either BYU or Ole Miss, depending.
Yeah. Illinois has Alabama. They have Arkansas next week. They have Tennessee. They have Missouri stinks, but then they have
Duke. It only helps you.
Especially with the team like in Indiana who was bad last year. You load that thing up. It helps whatever net ranking or whatever the metrics they use or whatever.
It's hard to get a home and home. That's why I was.
It is.
I applaud Matt Painter and Nate Oates for doing a home and home. Yeah. We will go there next year. And like them in Auburn, it's a neutral this year, neutral next year. Mm-hmm. But at least it's still a neutral series. I mean, Indiana didn't have any of those going on right now. So.
No. Yeah. And Illinois was a home and home with Tennessee. They played at Tennessee last year. Tennessee's coming to Champaign this year. No respect for programs that do that. Ohio State did it for years under Thad Matta too. And it
that's one thing I've never liked Izzo, but I've always respected how he does it. That's why his teams are always tough as nails come March. They went through the gauntlet in the lockdown. So.
But, I better get to Birdie Bogey before we go. Justin Jefferson is now the all-time leader in receiving yards through first 5 seasons of a career. Can you name the other 4 guys in the top 5?
Randy Moss?
Randy Moss is one of them.
Marvin Harrison?
He is not.
Shoot.
Well, let me give you two more guesses for a par, and if you get both of them correct.
I'm going to try to go for the active one. This is a gamble. Is it DeAndre Hopkins?
You are incorrect. I said maybe.
Active. Yeah, I know. Yeah, just give me the list.
Justin Jefferson won, obviously.
Yeah.
Torrey Big Game Holt, too.
Oh, I would have never guessed him.
Randy Moss, Jerry Rice, and then Julio Jones.
I would have got Jerry. I wouldn't got the others.
Almost active.
Son of a gun. Another bogey. This is getting pathetic.
I think Julio was active last season, but thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man show. Have a fantastic week, everybody, and we'll be back at her next Monday with our pre-Thanksgiving episode. I might just have to eat a turkey leg on the show next week. Have a great week, everybody.